7, this is a prayer from Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redemption. Amen. I stand before you this morning knowing I am an unlikely preacher. Why? I'm a skilled writer and have always been happy to stand up in front of people and speak, which is necessary in order to preach. I enjoy choosing hymns and love singing them. And knowing I've made a service with all its various components fit together gives me a great deal of satisfaction. So why unlikely? As a child, I was taught about various Bible stories, and we had some wonderful teachers who were really engaging, teaching us songs about them that we loved to sing. I recently found a recording of myself, aged 6, leading my dad and sister in a prayer I made up on the spur of the moment, then singing a hymn of praise I'd learnt at school. No, you're not going to hear this recording. I was already a preacher in the making. In secondary school, things went downhill. I was deeply unhappy and decided that if there was a God, he had totally abandoned me. So for the next few years, I was a very vocal atheist. The people telling us about God at school seemed emotionally cold. So their declarations about a loving God seemed like hollow lies. I didn't want to hear about their God, although I quite enjoyed singing hymns just for the music, of course. Then, when I was 17, everything changed. I went to a gospel choir concert, again, just for the music. And there they were, in my language, the choir declaring the wonders of God in the only way I, this angry, unhappy atheist, would understand, in song. There was such love in that church, and it was obvious from the way they sung that those in the choir loved their God and wanted to share that love. That, I suppose, was my Pentecost. I was in the crowd of onlookers, hearing about God in my own tongue, in a way that broke through all the pain and skepticism. I knew God was there with me. I wasn't alone. I never had been. What a relief! It was very unexpected. I'd just gone out for an evening with a lady from school and a friend for some music. I hadn't bargained for the Holy Spirit getting involved and changing my life forever. That wasn't part of the plan at all. The disciples in this morning's reading from Acts 2 are a bit different because they've seen the resurrected Jesus and his ascension, and they know he's promised to send the Spirit. Although not exactly when or how, but they know it will be soon. I wonder if they long for the Spirit like a child longs for the arrival of a beloved member of the family or party guest. Time dragging, constantly checking if the guest or spirit has arrived yet. You can imagine it, can't you? Have you seen him yet? Pentecost is an important Jewish festival, 50 days after Passover. So there are lots of people from many different countries visiting Jerusalem. So it's a perfect time for the Lord to pour out his Spirit on his people so that the message can spread far and wide. for everyone. We are told that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All of them. No one was left out. This wasn't just something for the 12 or only the men. Everyone at that gathering was able to speak in other tongues so that the crowd could understand what they were saying about God and become part of the new church. It must have been a very noisy morning. We are told that people in the crowd are amazed and perplexed, hearing these Galileans speaking in their native tongues and asking each other what it means. Which is quite funny, really, because presumably they understand what it means if it's in their own language, but there we are. Then we have the people making fun of the disciples, or sneering in some translations, saying they're drunk. In my experience, people have enough trouble speaking their native tongue when drunk, let alone other languages. Perhaps it's because of the exuberance and emotion involved, because it seems so uninhibited. Easier to believe these noisy people are drunk than listen to their message and let it change your life. Then Peter addresses the crowd. Peter, who kept saying the wrong thing when Jesus was alive and denied him 3 times on the night he was betrayed. Yes, that Peter. Suddenly, he's addressing a huge crowd and preaching a sermon. How did that happen? Where did he get the confidence and eloquence to speak with such authority? The Holy Spirit inspires him and he knows exactly what to say. He does such a good job that later in the chapter, we're told that 3,000 people are added to their church community that day. Wow! If only my preaching had such an impact. He explains that the disciples are not drunk and quotes the prophet Joel. What is striking here is that sons and daughters, young and old, servants, men and women are all mentioned. In a society where women have such a low status, this is really important. The Holy Spirit will be poured out on all people, not just a chosen few. Poured out. What does that mean? Well, you can pour out a drink, which is very neat. You get a jug or a bottle and fill your glass or cup just the right amount, then you enjoy your drink. Or if it's first thing in the morning and you're not quite awake, perhaps you overfill your cup and it overflows. There's drink on the worktop, and now it's dripping off the edge and onto the floor. Oh no! You need a cloth to wipe up the mess quickly before it spills even further. Or maybe it's more like pouring rain, soaking absolutely everything. That's how I imagine it. Your hair, your clothes, your body, the trees and the bushes, everything, it's dripping because there's such an abundance of water. If you're outside in that kind of rain, you're going to get absolutely drenched. In hot weather, that is a wonderful, exhilarating feeling. In this scene from our Acts reading, the Holy Spirit, which seems like tongues of fire, is poured out on everyone. There are no spirit-proof wellies or coats. Fire is another great way to imagine the Spirit. Have you ever been into a church where incense is burnt? Obviously not this one. cigarette smoke on my clothes and hair. I think the Holy Spirit is a bit like that, although far nicer than cigarette smoke. But it's everywhere. She is everywhere, bestowing her generous gifts on us all. Often gracious, quietly but persistently encouraging and helping us, walking beside us, a friend who never leaves. And what about these gifts? So many people don't realise that their particular gifts are from the Holy Spirit, because for many of us there isn't a sudden conversion or something dramatic like speaking in tongues. Perhaps that hasn't been necessary. I needed something so obvious I couldn't possibly miss it because I wasn't listening to God's call. In my case, that was in the form of song. I've never had another similar experience that was quite so profound. But I'm definitely aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit because now I'm paying attention. And hymns and religious music still mean a great deal to me. With my musical gifts, my language, I hope to pass on that gift of musical insight into God's power to others. In the Corinthians reading, Paul lists some of the gifts the one Spirit bestows on different people, who are all members of the one body of the church. He mentions wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, and speaking in tongues, or interpreting that speech. I would add so many more. When I think of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the first thing to come into my mind is love, as in our hymn, Come Down, O Love Divine, that we sang at the beginning of the service. That love, seeking our souls and kindling a flame in our hearts. The love that motivates acts of kindness and care, and prompts us to pray for one another. The love of those who welcome us when we arrive at church in the morning, or the people on the coffee roaster after the service, making this church an inviting, welcoming, and inclusive place. The Holy Spirit knows the gifts or encouragement each one of us needs. Perhaps someone you know has the gift of insight, saying they think you'd be good at something you may not have thought of. This happened to me with A-level German. My mum thought I would study German, and I dismissed it in the way only a grumpy teenager can. And a few months later, guess what I was studying? It's very annoying when your parents are right, isn't it? I think one of my gifts is being able to see the fun in situations and communicate that. Another reason why, if someone had told me I'd be a trainee preacher a few years ago, I'd have thought it was hilarious. Surely, preachers are far more serious, reverent, and holy than I could ever be. But the Holy Spirit knew different, and my call to preach just wouldn't go away. It was quite sudden, very surprising, and something I absolutely couldn't ignore. But you don't have to stand up in front of everyone and preach to know that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for all, including you. Everyone is given gifts to suit them. Like well-chosen Christmas or birthday presents, they are just for you, chosen with such love and discernment. conjuring up images, and in my mind, I have a wonderful image of beautiful wrapping paper, the kind you would try not to tear, so that you could keep and treasure it, enfolding these abundant gifts. Perhaps you don't always unwrap them straight away, because you're not sure you'll be able to use them. Perhaps you're being nudged towards trying something new, and it all seems a bit scary, like jumping off the high diving board at the swimming pool. What if you land in the water and find you can't swim? But what if you land in the water and realise it feels like coming home and wonder why you didn't try doing this new thing before? It's not just about trying new things. The Holy Spirit is always beside you, giving you strength in tough times and inspiration when you're looking for ways to sort things out, holding and comforting you when you need it. The variety of gifts is such a wonderful thing. In church, we need people to do all kinds of jobs. There are people like me who are quite happy to stand here and preach, or those who read or do the intercessions, musicians, choir members, and then there are those who hate public speaking and are happy to make coffee or arrange the flowers. People sorting out the sound and video so that people here can hear everything and also you can watch at home. Others have pastoral ministries, checking who needs prayer or if anyone wants a visit. People serve on the church council, making decisions about how things are run. And there are so many other jobs I haven't mentioned. And of course, people turning up for services is also vital. Thank you. Every single one of you and all the gifts you bring are so important. The Holy Spirit can be found in passing remarks you might forget you have said as soon as you made them. But perhaps they meant the world to the person who heard you. Or it can be found in a wave, a smile, or a few words you share with a friend or stranger, reminding them you value them. In kindness shown when you need it most, in so many everyday, ordinary ways, it doesn't have to be dramatic. So, though we celebrate Pentecost today, please remember that the Holy Spirit is poured out on us every day. There to gently guide us when we need it. She brings gifts to us all, within us and through the actions of others. Let's cherish those precious gifts, chosen especially for each one of us.